This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast. It's presented by Brandon Legal Group. When you have a legal need or even just a simple legal question and are looking for that legal answer, call Brandon Legal Group. You can schedule a free consult and go from there. They are full service. You do not need to ask me nor them if they specialize in the type of law you need assistance in. Full service law firm. And you do not need to have your legal issue originate professionally, personally, or even if it's something on the roads through the city limits of Brandon, Florida. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Huge Todd Wright Tour golf supporters. Colin Cunningham in particular does very well in the prize drafts. Jeremy is the marketing guy at Brandon Legal Group. I know a number of people there. They are so involved and supportive of the Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. They buy the first foursome in every event, including the event we just hosted last weekend, Todd Wright Tour XVIII. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4-BLG-4-ME. 844-4-BLG-4-ME. If you ever forget the phone number, I'm happy to answer any questions via email, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You can even write me at my Yahoo address, wright.todd@yahoo.com. Say, hey, what was the number for Brandon Legal Group? Or can you introduce me or have them call? Sure. I mean, I'll do that. Or you can just make the call yourself, 844-4-BLG-4-ME. 844-4-BLG-4-ME. Brandon Legal Group. Proud supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Speaking of the Todd Wright Tour, our 2019 season opener for the third year in a row, we open the season slash calendar year with the good versus evil format. This has been a wonderful theme recurring year after year. I take nine holes, make them real easy. I take nine holes, make them extremely difficult. Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club hosted Good versus Evil Part 3 last weekend. They were a terrific host. And I'm not just saying that. My players are saying that. If you have not been to the Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club since they completed extensive renovations, 18 new greens, significant reconstruction of many of the cart paths, other landscaping, flattening out tee boxes, putting in new grass there. Sure, the greens need a little time to mature, but you're going to love how they look. You really are. All new greens take a year to 18 months to totally mature, maybe beyond that. But Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club, par 69, is something you want to check out if you are in the Tampa Bay area. And my thanks to James, Al, Eric, and the entire staff. Clayton, fellow Cowboys fan, working the golf shop. They really hustled for me. And they put a lot of enthusiasm and work into setting up the golf course. Went out of their way to make sure Todd Wright Tour was acknowledged on the sign. No one's ever done that for me. And there was this big lacrosse tournament going on next door at the Sports Academy. They made sure only my golfers were able to park in the golf parking lot for convenience sake, so no one was inconvenienced at all. Thank you, James, Al, Eric, everyone at Chichi Rodriguez Golf Club. We'd love to come back, and I'm sure many of my players are going to come back on their own. That was Todd Wright Tour 18. I've already announced to my players, we will be playing Black Diamond for the first time, and we will be playing the Quarry Course this summer. If you would like to have an opportunity to play in the Todd Wright Tour event at Black Diamond, you need to get on my email list, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. This event might be sold out before we go on sale to the general public. And there's a reason for that, because it's a phenomenal golf course. And as great as the golf course is, it's probably even more photographed than just its rating as a golf course overall. I would imagine it is one of the three most photographed golf courses in the entire state of Florida, right there with Stream Song, and I'm saying in general because there are multiple courses on these properties, Stream Song, TPC Sawgrass, 17th hole, and Black Diamond Quarry, and we're playing one of them. So that's coming up. I might have an event before that. I'll certainly have other events later in the year after that. If you play golf and you haven't played in a Todd Wright Tour event, I don't know what you're waiting for. Seriously, reach out. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Ask anyone who's played in any one of my events as a reference. Go ahead. I stand by everything I've done. 18 events deep going back to October of 2015. I'm very proud of it. I've met a lot of wonderful people, become one of them. All right. I just got done with the podcast. No, not sports. Thanks to one of my favorite people in the radio business. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. In Tampa Bay, she is known to all of us as Christy Knight. And Christy is middays on Magic 94.9 in Tampa Bay. And you, of course, can listen to Magic 94.9 in Tampa Bay online, various apps, etc. She is as wonderful a personality to be around off the air as she is on the air. And again, I've known her a while. She does a podcast based on the show The Bachelor. She was stunned to find out I watch. I went through my reasons why I watch this show on her podcast. And because Christy is very smart in the things she puts together, she has a guest, two guests on each of her podcasts, one male about the show and one female. So I was the male, and ironically, the female on the show, unbeknownst to me, was a woman who knows me, which could have been very scary, by the way, but it's cool. A wonderful woman named Cheryl, who is the longtime wife of my friend Steve, who I have bought some of his extra Buccaneer season tickets to go to various games for at least a decade now, because Steve has always been a season ticket holder. And like many season ticket holders anywhere, with any sport, sometimes you sell off a couple of games to recoup your money to pay for the whole package. It's sensible. So it was Cheryl, it was me, hosted by Christy Knight. Check it out. Find the Christy Knight The Bachelor podcast if you want to hear me talking about the show. As it took me out of being the host of a podcast and a totally separate element. Thank you, Christy, for having me. And if you have trouble finding the podcast, just find Christy Knight on Instagram. That should be pretty easy to do, and she promotes her podcast there. Much as I waited a long time to offer a comment on Saints-Rams, to give you something unique that maybe you hadn't heard before, I offer this looking back to a Super Bowl that won't be remembered for much. It won't. I mean, I've heard most of my life. I mean, I was alive. I don't remember watching it. Super Bowl V with my beloved Cowboys losing to the Baltimore Colts. And it was a late field goal. So, I mean, it came down to the end, but it was acknowledged for many years, maybe even until this past Sunday, when people say, well, what was the worst Super Bowl? Super Bowl V gets brought up more than any other. So now we're at Super Bowl 53. Super Bowl 53 may have 48 years later trumped Super Bowl V. Admittedly, Super Bowl 53 was a much cleaner game. There weren't as many turnovers. There was bad football. I agree with those of you who said, look, there was a lot of good defense, but there was some really bad offensive execution out there too. Bad play calling, bad decision making by the quarterbacks, etc. It was sloppy in addition to good defense. You can have both. You can have good defense and sloppy offense. And we had it. We had one touchdown. In Vegas, one of the most popular prop bets is who scores first touchdown and who scores last touchdown. If you nailed one bet and bet both, it was the same guy. One. That's it. One. Michelle's odds actually were pretty good to score first or last touchdown, but not to be the only touchdown in the game. There were some props I hit. Of course, I make a regular weekly visit on the VSiN network, as I call it, the Brent Musburger network, with the wonderful Gil Alexander and a numbers game. And I gave, I think, more than half of the advice I gave on props was good advice. I missed some things, but in a game like that, I'm sure many things happened that weren't necessarily expected by the majority. Goff threw a duck when he had a wide-open Robert Woods for a touchdown in the third quarter. And the minute he released the ball, I yelled at our Super Bowl party of nine people. We had enough to feed and food and drink for 30. Have you ever noticed that with parties? You either have too much food and drink or not enough. Never have just the right amount. Usually you have too much. The minute Goff threw it, I just yelled, duck. If he throws a decent ball, the Rams are going to win that game, in my opinion. They take the lead, right? Or was that on that drive, did they get the Zuerlein field goal? They might have gotten the Zuerlein field goal on the drive. But they take the lead because the Zuerlein field goal tied it at 3. Inexcusable. It's not like Goff was harassed or anything. The one time you have a guy open in the end zone, first of all, he was late to throw it, and you throw a duck. It reminds me of prior to when he got drafted and when Jeff Fisher didn't know how to coach him, people were bringing up, well, his hands are too small. I mean, Jared, what was wrong there? He's wide open. Throw the ball. Throw the ball like a professional quarterback. Game likely would have been significantly different if Goff can make the throw. McCourty made a great play, but he only made a great play because Goff didn't make a great play. Could Woods have done more to catch the ball? Probably, but I think it's on Goff. And McCourty made a good play, yeah, but it's on Goff. That's, and there ain't a lot I'll remember from that game. That's one. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't. All right, let's spin this a little bit forward, because this weekend, they're not wasting any time. We have one of our new football leagues starting play. So this one has been in the works for a couple years. It has some respected people involved, like Bill Polian. It has some popular people involved, like Steve Spurrier. And they kick off this weekend, trying to immediately capitalize on the fact that the NFL doesn't have a game this weekend and give people some football to watch. It's commonly referred to as the AAF, Alliance of American Football. It will be available on, what, CBS, CBS Sports Network, assigning some decent crews to it. I know living in Tampa, there's a game right up the road. I considered going. I'm not, but I considered going. It's Atlanta at Orlando. Orlando's team coached by Steve Spurrier. The team name is the Apollos. Can't tell you much more. I'm not wasting a lot of time on it now. I'll probably DVR the game on Saturday. Now, are many of you like me with DVR stuff? You'll DVR something. It doesn't mean you watch it. It's sort of, you're sort of getting ahead and say, oh, yeah, I'll put that in there. I've watched the show Suits on USA every season, or I've DVR'd it every season. Last season, I watched about an episode and a half. I just got behind. And in the end, I was like, yeah, I really like that they added Kathy Heigl to the show, but there's obviously no Meghan Markle. her on-screen husband Mike is gone. I don't know. I'm not in the mood right now. And I've jumped ahead to this current season. So just because you put something in the DVR doesn't mean you watch it. I think that aptly describes what we might have with this AAF. If you watch the XFL documentary, The 30 for 30, we all have our favorite 30 for 30s. Mine are often different than most people. I really like the one about the Colts leaving Baltimore, especially when the drunk Ursay had the impromptu press conference at the Baltimore airport. That live footage is priceless. I like the 30 for 30 on John Spano owning the Islanders, and he had no money. That was actually done by E from Entourage. And the 30 for 30 on the XFL. I'm a longtime fan of Vince McMahon, WWE. I take a lot of it with a grain of salt. I covered the XFL when I was with ESPN. I had players on every week. I talked about the games. I bet on games in Vegas. I made a ton of money on the XFL in Vegas. How? I bet the under heavy the first 3 weeks, almost every game. Vegas odds makers really, you know, they didn't have a lot to go on. It took them a while to catch up. And granted, their liability was lower because it's not like a lot of people were betting on the XFL. I did. I bet the under virtually every game. I might have lost maybe a game or two because teams couldn't score. Where we talk about good defense and sloppy football in the Super Bowl, that's what the XFL had a lot of. So the XFL is next year, but this reminds a lot of people of that. In the 30 for 30 XFL documentary, other than, and I'm actually not a fan of Matt Vasgersian, his part of the documentary was the best. How he's got Dick Ebersol in one ear saying one ear, one thing, and Vince McMahon in the other ear saying the other. That's a tough spot to be in. 30 for 30 talked about when the XFL debuted, the thinking was, we've got one shot, and it's going to be 5 to 15 minutes or so of people tuning in. If they don't like what they see, they're gone and they're not coming back. We got one shot at it. The AAF, in my opinion, has one shot. So this weekend, I will give 5 to 15 minutes to the game between Atlanta and Orlando in my DVR. If I don't like what I see, I won't come back. Unless for whatever reason, Spectrum News in Orlando, which has me in, or in Tampa has me in, or Gil Alexander says, oh, I need your thoughts on the AAF, and I have to watch another game for work purposes. But that's what this is going to be. Most people will be tuning in one time. If they don't like what they see, they're gone and they're not coming back. And it'll happen with the XFL in 2020 as well. And I don't know about this. What is it, Ricky Williams and somebody else starting a league either next year or the year after that? So that's my observation on what the AAF has to do. I'm not optimistic with respect to some of the names that are ultimately involved. But that is that's my comment about the beginning of the AAF. And taking it a step further, whether this is right or wrong, let's say the 15 minutes, let's say all of us as a group watch the same 15 minutes of that Atlanta-Orlando AAF game, which I think is Saturday night. And they play at UCF, by the way. So we watch 15 minutes of it as a group, and we see exactly the same quality of football we saw for most of Super Bowl 53. I mean exact. We're taking 15 minutes, let's say not the Patriot touchdown drive, okay? That's not in the 15 minutes. Because it took 53 minutes of game time for anyone to score a touchdown in Super Bowl 53. So let's just take any block of 15 minutes of real time, and I think they have a running clock, 15 minutes of real time, and let's take the Rams and put them in the uniforms of the Atlanta team, and let's take the Patriots and put them in the uniform of the Orlando Apollos, and we replace Belichick with Spurrier. Is it Childress with Atlanta? Or did he quit already? Yeah. Some bailed quickly. Anyway, if that's the quality of football we see in those 15 minutes, we're done. We're not coming back. We're going to say, well, we don't have any reason to watch that. Is that fair? No. But that's our prerogative. And it also shows it's the packaging of it. Look, the NFL takes a lot of hits, and they're taking a lot of hits again. But here's why people watch the NFL. I'll give you five reasons, and most people fit into one, if not more of these five traits. One, they have a favorite team. You're a fan of the Buccaneers. You watch the Bucs. Maybe you watch on TV. Maybe you don't watch the whole game. Maybe you go to some games. Maybe you used to go to some games. Now you don't go to as many games. But you have a favorite team. So you watch your favorite team in the NFL, good or bad. Different levels. Every game or just some games. You bet on the NFL. There's a lot of money out there wagered legally and illegally on the National Football League. Usually people that bet on a sporting event watch the sporting event. You play fantasy football. Hello, I never thought I'd do 3 years of fantasy football podcast. Clearly, a number of you play fantasy football, or I wouldn't have done a podcast for three seasons, and that podcast will come back in July. And we have sponsors, and I get emails from fantasy players, good emails from good fantasy players. They're watching games. They're watching Red Zone. You do an office pool. I don't know how common these are. They used to be more common before there was the internet. Someone in the office prints up a sheet with all the games, passes the sheet out. You turn the sheet in with anywhere from $1 to $5 a week. Yeah. Or it's just your routine. The NFL's been around for a while. We just had the 53rd installment of the Super Bowl, and this just in. The Super Bowl wasn't always the last game. There were NFL championship games before the NFL merged with the AFL, and Lamar Hunt came up with the idea because his kid was playing with a Super Bowl for a Super Bowl as the name. So it's a routine on Sundays for people, primarily on Sundays, right? Because you got games on other nights. The AAF is none of that. Let's run them down. I could have someone right now saying, oh, my favorite team in the AAF is the, I'll just stick with the Orlando Apollos. Oh, I'm a fan of the Orlando Apollos. Oh, okay. How long have you been a fan? No, not nearly as many fans. Bet on it. There'll be some people that bet on it. It will be a sliver of what is bet on the NFL. Fantasy. I'm not playing any DraftKings action on the AAF. No thanks. Office pool. Oh, I really doubt that. If anyone is running an office pool on the AAF's first weekend, please email me and I'll mention you in the next podcast. But you better email me an image of the sheet with the games on it. Yeah. No one's running an office pool for the AAF, and it's part of your routine. No one's had a routine of watching pro football between the Super Bowl, and most people don't watch preseason games either, but we'll just say in August. This is supposed to fill a void that I don't think people need filled. Various football leagues have proven that. I think the USFL did the best job. And then they decided to move to the fall. And granted, there weren't very many successful franchises. Franchises were moving around. They were folding. They were consolidating. If every franchise was run by like the Tampa Bay Bandits or the Denver Gold, then we had something. But they weren't. So And then again, to give you some perspective, go back to, we're taking 15 minutes of Super Bowl 53, 15 minutes of real time. Let's say somewhere in the first half. And that's exactly the quality of football you're going to get in the Atlanta-Orlando AAF game. And because of how it's packaged, you're like, yeah, I'm not watching this. Is that fair? No. But it happens. As a fan of golf, I will tell you that I'm fascinated that there are people who watch Tiger Woods hit a golf shot and they go nuts for it. Tiger Woods will hit an iron into a green to 8 feet. And I'm talking about 99% of his golf shots, because he has pulled off some miraculous shots in his career. But I'm talking about Tiger Woods, 99% of his golf shots. And virtually every player on the PGA Tour has hit the exact same quality of golf shot, and people don't go nuts for it. Why? Because of the packaging. Because it's Tiger Woods and they know who Tiger Woods is and they're excited to see Tiger Woods play and win, it gets them hot and bothered. If Aaron Wise hits the same shot, if Cameron Champ hits the same shot, if defending champion at Pebble Beach Ted Potter Jr. hits the same shot, hell, if Ricky Fowler hits the same shot, if Dustin Johnson hits the same shot, if Jordan Spieth hits the same shot, it doesn't generate 20% of the excitement. It's the packaging. It's the perception. And that's what the AAF is facing with the 5 to 15 minutes that some of you, like me, will tune in to give it its one shot. It's literally 15 minutes of fame. It better be really good. Somehow. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by Brandon Legal Group. Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service law firm. When you have a legal need, call 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. Call for a free consult. You do not need to live, work, or have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida. Brandon Legal Group services the greater Tampa Bay area. Huge Todd Wright Tour golf supporters. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group for that and for playing in the most recent Todd Wright Tour XVIII. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG-4ME. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.